That's very fair. Yay, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Walk-On College Football Podcast here on Shooting the Sports-ish. That is JB. I'm Cam. We're here for another week. But first, we have to make sure that everybody brought their spray paint cans, their mustard bottles, their golf balls, their empty beer cans. We just want to make sure everybody came well-equipped for this week. JB, some things happened over last weekend.
You think?
that we're going to get into. I think this week is going to be mostly us talking about news items more than games, because I feel like everything newsworthy happened within like 72 hours of each other.
Basically, Saturday was pretty hectic. It had nothing to do with football.
Nothing to do with football. Yeah, if you guys are joining us, you're listening in, we appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Make sure if you're following us on YouTube, you subscribe, like, turn on that, hit that notification bell, turn on those notifications. If you're listening to the podcast form, give us a follow at WalkOnSTSI on Twitter. You can come hang out with us. Find us on YouTube, Shooting the Sports-ish, and wherever you're finding us on the podcast platform. Please, please like and give us a rating. That would be very helpful. JB, let's start here, and then we'll work our way into probably the most important things. Okay. The American Athletic Conference reloaded this weekend.
Yes. And this is something we talked about weeks ago, and it came to fruition the way that it did. So they're losing teams, reloaded instantly.
Yeah. So Conference USA just got royally just.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
pillaged.
Like, KY on the hand, like bend over kind of thing. Like, they had. In a span of less than a day, they lost half of their conference. Just like
yeah, that. Just like that.
I mean, that's a level of impressive that we haven't hit before. And even though it's a smaller, they're smaller conferences, that's a huge red flag. This is the biggest of red flags that we've seen so far in the realignment and whatever the heck is going to happen. This sets an interesting precedence for some of the bigger conferences looking at this.
Absolutely. And Conference USA is now the annex of Quahog. There's really not much left there.
So good. That's such a great reference. God, the annex. That's a freaking great reference, dude. That's amazing. Connor says, "What's up? What's going on, man?
What up, Connor?"
Man, this is crazy. They have six teams from the same conference left in a day.
And what else can you say about it? Like, this is bad. This
dude, is bad. It's really bad. Like, we have friends of the program, I think we'll call them, the Sidelines Sports Network.
Right.
They have, like, individual teams represented. So whatever college you love, somebody's running that Twitter handle. And they also have them for conferences. We reached out to Sidelines AAC for commentary. And they sent me back the gif of somebody trying to hide in their hat. So I'm just gonna make up whatever I think they would say, which is probably a lot of oh crap. So for those of you guys, I think everybody knows by now, but we'll run them through really quick. So Charlotte, Florida Atlantic, North Texas, Rice, UAB, and University of Texas San Antonio, all on the move from Conference USA to the American. So it is a reload. It is an expansion. I think, though, I mean, they missed on some teams, right? Like, let's be fair. Right. This was not exactly the cream of the crop that was left for them.
That's true, but I mean, it's still something, and it's still a lot, and it still took a bite out of Conference USA. It's still, they still got pillars. There's really no way they got stripped by.
Oh, Conference USA for sure got stripped. I think the American kind of whiffed, though. When you have teams like, first off, let me say this. I love that UAB is back in a position where their football program can move conferences and not
Right.
worry about being taken away at a 3 p.m. press conference that the players didn't even know about, you know,
And need
and
Spencer James to come back in because he's the resource.
exactly. And that saga that they went through, I love that their football program's back. That's awesome. Since we're just looking at this from a football perspective here on this podcast, but you look at teams like Liberty that were that you look at teams like Coastal, like there were some teams there that I felt like the American could have gone after and they didn't. And I did a little bit of digging, and I have a I have a source of sorts.
Okay.
Apparently, the American was going to entertain James Madison and one other team to be moved up
Really?
from the FCS series to the FBS series, and that fell through. I think, oh, it was Old Dominion. I think James Madison and Old
Really?
Dominion would have been perfect call-ups for the American.
Well, it'd be perfect for Conference USA, no.
I mean, that Conference USA is knocking on their door. I mean, they have to. There's nowhere else to go.
Basically, but
Yeah.
Coastal would have been a nice move considering what happened with them. So,
Yeah, just I feel like you look at the teams, and I mean, you know, everything from sports is market based, right? You need all
right.
of the big markets, you know. So, like Florida Atlantic, another Florida team coming in, that makes sense. You lose UCF, you want to keep some piece of Florida along with USF. That makes sense. You get Rice, North Texas, and UTSA from the Texas markets. Sure, I mean, you can say now that we have a piece of Texas. You can say that. So
You
I'm
can
okay with
say
that.
that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. You get UAB, which isn't really bringing any market from Alabama, Birmingham. I'm sorry, it's just not.
I mean, Roddy White once there went there once upon a time, but that's about
Sure.
it.
and then you get Charlotte. I think Charlotte. Let me ask you this. I'll pose it to you the way I see it, and then I'll ask you the
Okay.
question. I
Okay.
think immediate success is probably Florida Atlantic. I think the most fun team is probably Charlotte. As far as build,
Agreed.
as far as build and future in the conference. What do you think?
Agreed.
Yeah.
I agree, especially in the case of Charlotte. This program didn't exist about what, 10 years ago? It was like a thought.
Yeah, less than that.
Yeah, and I mean they've put together a very nice program. They got a nice facility. They got a nice everything nice there. They really like invested heavily into that program.
Yeah.
Like I sheesh, I remember hearing about it way back when. Like I almost went to try out for them once upon a time. That's how long ago that was.
Really?
But yeah. I remember those tryouts. And I was like, maybe I'm a little bit on the older side. I think I was like 23-ish at the time.
Yeah.
So, but whatever. Never really happened, but they've got nice facilities and they poured a lot into that program and it's really come up, especially for them being so young. They've done quite a bit with that program. So them making a
Yes.
jump like this is really going to help them out and push them even further.
Absolutely. Charlotte 49ers started in Conference USA in 2015. So we're 6 years into the entire lifespan of this football program.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Connor chimed in here. Dynamo effect, big conferences. I'll take this team, smaller conferences. I'll take this team from the next guy. Yes, 100%.
Basically,
That's exactly what
that's
it's gonna
basically
be.
what it That's pretty perfect.
It is. It's exactly what it's gonna be, Connor. You're exactly right. For better or worse, a lot of people think it's for worse. It
Well,
is, you
we'll see. It's bad for Conference USA, but in terms of like what the AAC will get, we'll see. It's a waiting game.
Yeah. Speaking of things leaving, Ed Orgeron. and LSU. Ooh,
I was waiting on this one. Feel free to take your victory lap because we both knew what was going to happen, but you were super adamant about it week one. So by all means, just go ahead and just do what you need to do.
So Ed Orgeron was the defensive line coach at the University of Tennessee in 2009 when Lane Kiffin came. I don't know how many people know that. Probably not a lot. I have a strong dislike for Ed Orgeron since about the end of the 2009 season. he's actually left or been a part of three programs being under probation, Tennessee being one of them. So oh, wow. He did this really fun thing where he took the university gifted phone that coaches will have, right? The university will give them a phone that they can use, a cell mm-hmm. phone. when Kiffin found out that he was leaving for USC and he took Orgeron with him to USC, mm-hmm. Orgeron immediately called all of the kids he was recruiting and said, "Don't come to Knoxville. We're leaving. Go to USC."
Then, oh, that's fine.
Tennessee got wind of it, shut his phone off. He bought a burner phone and continued calling more recruits, telling them, "Don't come to Knoxville. Don't come to Tennessee. It's terrible. It's going to be bad. We're leaving. Don't come."
So I can see why you don't like him much.
Yeah, so there's some history, we'll call it, there with Mr. Ed. I think he was in a perfect storm with Joe Burrow. I don't think he's a really good coach. I think he's a good coordinator. I think he's a really good defensive line coach. And I think he's a good coordinator. I do, honestly. I don't think he's a good head coach. I think that LSU is parting ways with him because there is about to be some stuff that's going to happen in Louisiana. And this is going to be another school that Ed Orgeron is going to leave under probation. And it's coming because Ed Orgeron has had like pick a number different girlfriends since he's been at LSU. Like, and everything that's happening there, like it's going to come out. It's only going to get worse. He deserves whatever he's going to get because that's just kind of what he's done. And that's been his MO. Congratulations on getting the ring that Joe Burrow gave you, I guess. Good luck getting a head coaching gig at anywhere else that matters. Have fun. Like, get out of here.
Like real spit. Like the stories revolving around his departure are wild. Like, hitting on women's hitting on wives and daughters and like faculty and students is just like it's gonna get worse before it gets better. And the fact that he'll perform not performing on the field definitely isn't helping his case. But just the stories wrapped around it, like this is toxic. Like if there was ever a toxic situation in college football this year, this is it.
Yeah. Did you hear the story about him hitting on the lady at the gas station?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just that's stuff like that, man.
Like, man, and he married?
Listen, man, I'm not normally one to comment on another man's.
I think that's the wild part. That's the wild part to me. It's like, man, you don't really don't care, huh? I mean, I know shooters gonna shoot, but good Lord, man, that's a tack about yourself.
He's not. Just so I'm not painting him as somebody that's a married man doing this. He's not married. He's single.
Is he? Okay.
But you can't date co-eds. Like, you know, right. I mean? Like, you just can't do that.
Right.
And you can't do a lot of the things that he was doing, much like hitting on pregnant women who are the wives of high-ranking officials at the university that you coach at. You just can't in a parking lot. You know what I mean? You just can't.
Right. Not at a gas station.
Yeah. Like, your testosterone level, go work out. Go hit a gym. You know what I mean? Work it out. Connor asked if we have another Urban Meyer situation. No, it's not that bad.
It's not that right.
But it's something.
It's definitely something. Shooter's gonna shoot, but Jesus, dude.
Shooter's gonna shoot. But I think we, like you said at the beginning, I think we called this. I think the real Ed Orgeron, the last year and a half has been the real Ed Orgeron. I think he was in a perfect storm. And historically speaking, coaches that find themselves in the perfect storm are normally coaches that have figured a way to get that storm to happen at their school, we'll say. However, and let's be honest, I mean, I don't know if I want to put that on Ed. That's probably a little too personal. But let's go back and let's look at it this way. Ryan Day inherited a really good program from Urban Meyer at Ohio State. Say whatever you will about Urban Meyer. Ryan Day inherited an incredible thing from him. Ed Orgeron inherited an incredible thing from Les Miles.
Oh, yeah.
What they had going on. So that was part of it.
I mean, think about all those athletes that were there at the time that are in the league now. Whether they're starters or backups, like most of those players are in the league.
Yeah.
No, hands up and down.
For sure.
And I think the last one left from like that amazing like run and string of players is Derek Stingley.
Who will be a top five pick.
Easy. Doesn't have to play.
And he didn't even play this year.
Right. Doesn't have to play.
No. Fun story, if you guys want to know about this. So when our chancellor, who at Tennessee, decided that he wanted to hire Greg Schiano, and then the entire city of Knoxville basically protested on him, and that should be a 30 for 30, and by the fact that it's not actually kind of makes me mad. Greg Schiano was told he had the job. He was packing to come to Knoxville.
Oh,
and
no.
They had to call him and tell him, oh, sorry, you actually don't have it anymore.
Yeesh.
From the time he was told that he had the job up until the time that we had to tell him you no longer have the job, Joe Burrow was coming to Knoxville with him. He was all set. And then the fan base said, we don't want Schiano. They told Schiano, please don't come. And Joe Burrow said, all right, if he's not going, I'm not going. And he ended up at LSU.
And the thing, LSU historically has been one of those teams that is just always one quarterback away.
Oh boy, like, howdy.
Defense, run game, receivers, like the trenches, everything just perfect. But quarterback just always just eludes them. Mm-hmm. Like from the Rohan Davies to the Zach Mettenbergers to the Jamarcus Russells, like they're always just that one guy away. Mm-hmm. And Joe Burrow was just a piece to the puzzle, the perfect piece to the puzzle.
He really was. He really was. So Orgeron leaving LSU at the end of this year, I think that his legacy will be that he got to be the head coach of arguably one of the best college football teams that has ever stepped on a field. I think that's valid.
Yeah, and Joe Burrow, like, one of the best quarterback seasons of all time in college football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's valid. I think that will be part of his legacy. I think the other part of his legacy will be he probably wasn't that good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people will be like, oh, well, then he went 5-5, and then he went whatever they're going to do this year. And people will probably be like, yeah.
And all the volume shooting he did on the side.
There was a lot. He's bringing girlfriends and their kids to practices. He's letting kids run drills during practice. Like,
just sky hooking it. Just windmill dunking. Like, God, chill out, dude.
Dude, I mean, listen, if he's going to try and shoot that hard and get these girlfriends from practice to the house to hang out at, I'm just saying he should probably use Drizzly STSI for his alcohol game. JB Drizzly's incredible. You don't even have to leave the house, man. You don't even have to leave the house. You don't have to leave the couch. You don't even got to put pants or a shirt on if you really don't want to. All you got to do is go to the link below. And if you're watching this on, or if you're listening to this on podcast, it's tinyurl.com/DrizzlySTSI. That's 1Z in Drizzly. You can order your alcohol from the comfort of your own home, and it will be delivered to you. You don't have to move. In some areas, alcohol will get to you in less than 60 minutes.
Real talk, I used it during the game last week when George was putting a whooping on him.
You can restock. Go Dogs. You can restock the whole fridge, and you ain't even got to move. You don't even have to answer the door. They'd knock on the door and leave it there. You open the door, pick it up, bring it in.
Man, and I know there's a special offer that we have with Drizzly.
There is, I'm sure. Go find it. Drizzly's doing a couple of different offers right now. We're in the process of trying to create our own special offers that we can run. But I know Drizzly is running some good offers on 10-15% off particular full bottles. So it's all the beer, all the wine, all the alcohol, whatever you need to restock the fridge to make sure that you're good to go for Saturdays in the fall. Drizzly has you covered. It's tinyurl.com/drizzlystsi. That's DRIZLYSTSI. Go get your hookups. Courtesy of Ed Orgeron and the Thoughts. Anyways. I'm feeling pretty good. Make sure to give us a follow on Twitter at WalkOnSTSI. Come hang out with us. Some more coaching news that we need to get to. There's three real pieces of news this week that involved head coaching. Orgeron was one. The Washington State coach got fired. Because he elected to not get the vaccine, to which the school said, if you're not going to get the vaccine, we have to fire you, or we're going to fire you. I don't think they said we have to. I think they said we're going to.
And now he's suing.
Yeah, he's suing the school.
That's wild. Just the awkward turn of events, how quickly that escalated.
I don't want to get too much into it. But I think that regardless of where you are on the line, I really don't care. If you think the vaccine is everything, if you think the vaccine is nothing, I really don't care where anybody stands. That's not what this is about. Mm. I think we found a line, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and this kind of goes, like, we kind of got a little into the Gruden stuff last week that was sort of off topic. This week, the Chicago police superintendent said that he was going to start withholding retirement from any police officers in Chicago that would retire rather than getting the vaccine.
See,
I think we found a line. I think absolutely. We found the line here. Like, and this is not going to be a 20-minute. You know, I get that. Like, we're a college football podcast. I want to stay on that, but. I think we're finding the line, JB. I think we're getting there.
Look, take the vaccine, don't take the vaccine. That's your business. I stand with you on that. I think that we're finding more and more that big business are trying to like put their values and put on other people what they think. And it makes sense. Especially when you're talking about being around a lot of people and the potential risk, and as we still navigate trying to figure out what's going on with this. But oh man, there's definitely a line here, and we definitely have long since found it.
Yeah, the Washington State stuff is interesting. Like that one is kind of still in the gray area. Withholding people's retirements, like physically not letting them retire, is insane. That guy should be in prison. Like that's
absolutely. Absolutely. There's like, I mean, say what you want to about like what's going on, what happened at Washington State. Say what you want to about Kyrie, but that's morally just unethical.
it's just straight up wrong. I read that headline, no joke, probably 15 times because I didn't get it. I mean, the headline was like Chicago superintendent. Are you know willing to withhold retirement from cops that don't want to get vaccinated and would rather retire? Like, I had to read that about 15 times because my brain was like, I'm missing a word, I'm missing punctuation. Like, my brain was like, you're missing something in this title. There's no way it can just be that. And anyways, But the Washington State have a super interesting, and like you brought up, JV, Rolovich, the coach that got fired, is going after Washington State. Apparently, he's saying that the AD and some of the upper level guys there were very nasty and very ugly towards the situation. Unsure what that means, but that's going to unfold in front of us in the next couple of weeks, I assume.
Yeah, man. It's wild. It's super wild.
It is wild. And that's one coach standing on principle. I don't know. That's one coach that's electing his ability to do what he thinks is right. Yeah. And going to another coach who also thinks that, but this coach is an idiot. And I can say that because it's my former coach, Jeremy Pruitt. And he is stupid. So effectively what Jeremy Pruitt did. By the way, Jeremy Pruitt is...
It doesn't sound personal at all.
It's not at all. I'm very unbiased. I'm right down the road, middle of the lane.
It's just straight down the middle.
Just straight down the middle. I'm not veering at all. Jeremy Pruitt effectively will have left Tennessee on some sort of probation. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, not if. Jeremy Pruitt basically came out yesterday or the other day and was like, the thing right now is we're not paying Jeremy Pruitt's buyout because we fired him. And he's mad that we're not paying his buyout because he's out like, I don't know, $15 million or whatever his buyout was. Mm. He said, I'm paraphrasing. I still have a lot of information on Tennessee athletics. And if I don't get paid, I'm going to tell everybody. To which Tennessee responded and said, all of the dirt you have on us was the dirt you created while you were here. Feel free to tell everybody, Jeremy. You did it. and then not only this is where I love kind of I think vindictive is too strong of a word, but Tennessee started looking into Jeremy Pruitt the last 2 years he was at Alabama before even coming to Tennessee. And Tennessee, basically, their lawyers have basically said, go ahead and speak first, because we've got some stuff while you were at Alabama that I think everybody will be very interested in knowing about you, defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt. So please, I beg you, shoot first. And Pruitt's lawyers haven't said anything in the last 24 hours.
So I think the word you're looking for is petty.
Petty. Petty. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. Here's the thing. Jeremy Pruitt was paying recruits cash in McDonald's bags and is mad that he got fired and isn't getting his buyout. Like, that's literally what it boils down to. He was paying off recruits, and he's mad that we're not going to pay his buyout after firing him for, what's the phrase, just cause. Like, we had just cause to fire him, and he's mad. Anyways, he lawyered up. His lawyers are saying some stuff. Jeremy's saying some stuff. Idiot, I think, is the word I want to look for, and that's the word I'm gonna use. Firing a little straighter than I normally do here, JB. Coach Barnes of the Tennessee men's basketball team came out and basically bitch slapped Jeremy Pruitt in an article. And it was awesome. I think we're going to build a statue for Coach Barnes now just for doing that. I think those are kind of the major news as far as – oh. No, I don't even want to talk about that. We're not going to talk about that. I can't. JB, here's what I want to get into.
What's up?
So we look at last week. So let's go. Okay, so now we're going to get into the normal swing of things. Podcast would normally look like after taking 30 minutes to cover all the nonsense that's happened in the world of college football. Another good week for Georgia football. I don't know how else to say it. How did that one feel next to your name while you were watching that game? How did it feel?
Like, who do we play this week? It almost like it doesn't matter. Like, just another one. And okay, so loser team number six. Whatever.
Yeah.
We put, like, what more can I say? We put them down. We just continue to roll. We get it off week. I'm just kidding. I'm gonna show Kentucky a little bit more respect than that. You know, I can't believe you almost let me get away with that. Like, really?
Listen, man, I was just letting you roll, buddy. I wasn't gonna say nothing.
Look, man, that was the best overall team from top to bottom that we played, and
yeah,
that was it. Like, there was really we put them down. Like, the only knock is what we didn't hang 40 on them. Like, ooh,
yeah. I mean, was it interesting that it was 0-0 at the end of the first quarter? Not that that would have worried you, but did that intrigue you at all?
I was intrigued. The first half intrigued me because I'm like, okay. This offense hasn't really taken off like it normally would have by then. The defense is doing this thing, but offensively, kind of middling. But they got their ducks in a row. They got what they needed to get done by the end of it, and that was that. Second half was just Georgia woke up and just lowered the boom on Kentucky.
Yeah, that's you guys just laying on people after a while, and people just don't have answers for it anymore.
Yeah.
And that's really what the fourth quarter looks like for you guys almost all every game this year. That was one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, because this Georgia defense is getting so much love, and rightfully so.
Right.
Some would even argue that we're not showing Georgia's defense enough love, and we're only talking about Georgia's defense. There are 8 teams that are giving up 15 or fewer points per game this year through 8 weeks. And I think 2 through 8 would be talked about way more if number one wasn't averaging 6.6 points per game given up.
I mean, is a
stupid number.
And four, think about it, just consider this, 4 touchdowns on the whole season.
Yeah.
That's always given up, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And me and you spoke early this week, and you wanted me to speak on why this Georgia team from top to bottom is having the success that it's having.
Yeah, it's specifically what the Georgia offense is doing that's keeping the rhythm that team needs. They're not necessarily – the Georgia defense isn't really bailing them out, but they're keeping time with each other. They're just keeping a good pace every single week.
Like, would you believe me if I told you that Georgia's offense was ranked 78th in the nation right now?
I probably would believe that, because we just never talk about them. It seems like there's
nothing sexy about the Georgia offense. And we've run most of these games with Stetson Bennett, who's our backup, leading the way. And going forward, there's going to be a 2 QB system with JT and Stetson after we get back from this bye week. So look out, Florida. A better 2 QB system is coming your way. But that's neither here nor there. What makes this Georgia team so special, like, is it's a traditionally built football team. It's built to win a championship. When you look at where the success is, and the success is in the trenches. You got one of the best offensive lines in the game to go with one of the best defensive lines in the game, and one of the deepest defensive lines in the game. And those two, you can win championships just based off that alone. Like, you'll be in contention with a good offensive line and a good defensive line. And Georgia's got both. We have three running backs that could literally just do different things. Like, Zamir White is like the best back of the bunch, clearly, but he's not doing it alone, and he doesn't have to, because James Cook is right there, Kendall Milton's right there, and then we have the best 2 tight end set in the nation with Washington and Brockers, and Brockers is the best freshman tight end in the nation. And wide receiver, I mean, is there a household name out there? No, not yet, but they're still talented, and they're still deep, and they're still getting open. And just another thing to consider about the Georgia offense to this point this season, and this is the same thing about – you can say the same thing about the defense too. Like, look at the injury report on any given week on what Georgia's been working with. We are down a lot of people, and we're still doing everything that we're doing. We're still moving the ball offensively just as we need to. We're not like going to rip off massive chunks per play. We're not Tennessee's offense. I'll you one that. Hey, giving you flowers. We're not that good on offense. At least we haven't posted up those numbers. But it's a consistent offense. We're moving guys on the offensive line. We're keeping our quarterbacks clean, and we're not turning the ball over. And anytime you don't turn the football over, you're going to win games, especially if you have to stop defense. This Georgia team is built for what they're doing. And that's why they're having the success they're having. Stetson doesn't need to put up 300 yards a game. The running backs each don't need to run like 75 or 80 yards per game. They can just do what they can, contribute, and just everybody by pitching in, it's going to be successful because that defense is going to back them up. Period. That's why the Georgia offense is the way it is, and that's why I was contributing to the success that the team is having.
Yeah, man. I going back to what you said, you know, one of the points that you made, which I completely agree with, is I've watched almost every Georgia game. I cannot tell you one other offensive player not named Stetson Bennett or JT Daniels. You know what I mean? And and that's not like a knock. It's just like everybody – that offense is just kind of so ho-hum, but it just leans on you. It just does everything the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, not turning the ball over, not being penalized a whole lot, the small things.
And that's really what it comes down to. You know, football is a mental game. So as long as you're taking care of the stuff mentally, everything else is just going to fall into place one way or another. I mean, it's helping that Stetson is able to make the throws he needs to make, and we're able to push the ball downfield when need to when the matchups are available. But we really don't have to. That defense has given us short fields a lot of the time. And that contributes to why the ranking is so low, because we're not – having to make long drives. We don't have to. We can, but it's not needed.
Is that the way to beat that Georgia offense, is to somehow find ways to put them into longer possessions or longer yardage to score possessions? What's the thing that kind of takes down that Georgia offense?
I feel like you need to be extreme. You have to have an extremely disciplined defense. And you have to have some dogs in the middle of that defense. Because, again, that offensive line is moving people.
Yes.
Like, they are – as long as you can do that, you can run, set the tone in the trenches, and you can move people, and you can keep your quarterback out upright, and they're already not making mistakes. Just play disciplined ball. Because, it's not a flashy offense. They're not going to just, like – we're not going to like light up the sky with points and deep bombs. We're not built for that. Can do it. The capability is definitely there, but that's not our bread and butter. Bread and butter, stay on time, move people, run the ball. That's it. And any defense that can stop that Georgia run and force whoever our – if you force Stetson Bennett to beat you with his arm and you're not disciplined in the back end, that's what's going to happen. That goes doubly so for JT.
Yeah.
If you could definitely just keep those guys in the positions that they are and just force them to make mistakes, which they haven't done yet, and force them to get off the field, that's how you're ultimately going to beat Georgia. And that's why Alabama is the only real test that Georgia's really going to have in that department.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, I have to agree with you. You guys are on the bye week this weekend, and then you get Florida.
Yes.
I don't really see Florida being a problem for you guys.
No, but it's going to be so sweet. Like, if you love my rant about Auburn, oh my God, it's going to be dialed up to 11 next week.
It is, man. Yeah, you have a whole nother week to put that together since you guys don't play this weekend. You have a whole week to rant on that, or to build that rant up leading into the game. No, man, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it's just you guys have to win the title this year, right?
At this point.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that the only game I'm worried about is Alabama, because
it's Alabama.
Yeah. That's it.
No, I'm with you.
Now, we get to the playoffs at this point. If we beat Alabama, there's no way, unless something happens and there's an act of God, there's no way they're going to the playoffs.
No.
At this point.
Yeah.
So we knock them off. I'm not gonna say we coast, but
you do.
I wouldn't say coast because I mean, just out of respect for the other teams.
That's fair. I'll say it. You coast.
Like, and we get to a title, and that's just gonna be that.
Yes, you guys do. It's stupid. Your team's stupid.
It's really the defense. That's like the craziest part about it, because it's really they're really 2-3 deep. It's literally like as good as Georgia's defense has been. It's really just been next man up.
Yep.
That's really been it whole time.
Yeah, your next man up is just a different level to everybody else's next man up.
Yeah.
That's the only difference. You guys are just you're operating at a higher level. Yeah, man. I think you guys are just going to run through the rest of this season. And God, I'm looking forward to that Georgia-Alabama matchup in Atlanta. Holy cow, that place is going to be rocking.
And it's basically a whole game.
Rocking.
Like, those tickets are, like, in the thousands.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a home game. And it's basically a home game.
It is. This is a home game. JB, Iowa lost.
Can I talk about this real quick?
I mean, I'd be rude if I said no. Oh boy.
So last week, well, rather the week before, Alabama, number one team in the nation, lost. To an unranked team. It only fell four spots. Went to five.
Yeah.
Iowa lost to an unranked team. And it fell to 11. What the hell is the difference? Somebody please inform me how one was allowed and one wasn't. What is the difference between losing to one unranked opponent and falling four spots and another one falling down nine spots? Who authorized this? What kind of favoritism is going on here that was allowed to happen? That is totally unfair. That's totally uncalled for. Somebody needs to be called out about that, because that is utter bullcrap. There is no possible way, and I mean no freaking way, was that and the fact that this has really just been swept under the radar and nobody's talking about it adds to how much more pissed off I am about it.
Yeah.
Because I've heard conversations about, well, it's Alabama and this their past. I'm like, you know what? Bullshit. It's not about where you are, it is about where you are. It's not about what you've done. It's not about what your reputation is. It's not about what the expectations are. You, where you are, lost to somebody to where they are, and everything balances out because of it. That's what it's supposed to do. There's no reason, there's no excuse why an unranked team, being the number one team in the nation, only falls five spots, and the number two the next week lost to unranked, and they fall so far. It's crap. It's utter crap, and it's totally not fair. And I feel bad for the kids of Iowa, because they certainly, they lost, and you shouldn't have lost. You handle your business. None of this happens. I'm not giving them a pass for that. But consider what happened with Alabama. They should still be, because now they have no chance. Like none. They're out of it. Like we've been giving them their flowers. We've been talking about them all year. But at this point, when it comes to the national championship, when it comes to the playoffs, they're dead.
Yeah, they're going to have to run the table and win the Big Ten.
And they need help. And they're going to need help. Absolutely going to need help.
Yeah, it's I think there's a couple of factors there. One, I think you're right. I mean, you're right. The factors that I would argue, not argue, the factors I would say that they used are they probably think A&M is better than Purdue. Again, I'm not saying that's what I think. I'm filling in holes here. They probably think A&M is better than Purdue. And it was a close loss on the road for Alabama, and Iowa got blown out at home by a Purdue team that they probably think is lesser than A&M. The last part I would point to is what Connor said is the media has an Alabama and an SEC bias. And it does. The media definitely has a little bit of
an SEC bias. It definitely does.
But I ain't mad at that. But yeah, it's Bama.
It's about being fair. And I guarantee you, if this was Georgia or Arkansas or Kentucky, we wouldn't have gotten that same treatment.
No, I mean, Coastal Carolina lost on Wednesday, and they'll probably be out of the top 25 come Sunday night.
Absolutely, as they should be. And again, this is, I think for me, it's more about Alabama and where they fell, and more and less about where Iowa fell. Yeah. I think they should be equal because the circumstances were the exact same. Yeah. You were a top five, top three team, and you lost to somebody who didn't even qualify for being in the top 25. Doesn't matter how good you think they are. Doesn't matter how what their quality wins were to that point. Going to that game, they were right there. You were right there. You lost. You fall. Period.
Listen, man. I'm with you. I think that was a lovely that was a nice rant, man.
That was man, and
that was one of your better ones.
Thank you. Thank you. It's just, you know, injustices, man.
Yeah, I think, you know, Purdue losing, I think, was the big
Iowa.
Or Iowa losing, sorry. Iowa losing to Purdue was probably the big highlight of this last weekend. Texas blows another lead in the fourth quarter to another Oklahoma team. So Texas again, still not back. But we're hoping. No, we're not.
Okay.
I would also like to say shout outs to Tony, the leader of this year, the owner and operator of this mothership we call Shooting the Sports Ish.
Yeah, big boss man.
His Baylor Bears getting a big win over BYU.
That is a really good win.
That is a really, really good win because that BYU team was coming in. They were rolling. That defense is good. That defense is going to continue to be good. And Baylor, I think, ran for like 1,000 yards on them that game.
And how many spots did they fall?
I don't
worry,
know.
I'll wait.
I'm unsure. Yeah, as a team, Baylor ran for 300 yards against BYU as a team.
Good Lord.
Man, that's crazy. They played really well. Unranked, beating a ranked team at home. Big win for Baylor. Enjoyable. It was enjoyable to watch him in the group chat kind of work his way through the fact that his Baylor team is now 6-1 and owns a win over a really good ranked opponent.
Yeah. As he should be.
That was fun for him to that was fun to watch him go through that. Tennessee came up short, not ideal. JB, you know how you don't win a football game? By running out of bounds on the last play of the game and not throwing the ball into the end zone.
Oh, well, you know, that's kind of one-on-one there.
Yeah, when you're at the 20 and you elect to run out of bounds rather than throw the ball into the end zone, you're not going to win a lot of games, especially when you're losing on the scoreboard when you do that. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I feel like that was the second most boneheaded thing that happened in football over the weekend. I think the first is DK Metcalf going at Shannon Sharpe.
Bro, that was hilarious.
That was crazy.
I'm all for that. I want all of that again.
Man, washed up wannabe Shannon Sharpe, he called him.
Yeah, which is just great. You know, sometimes you got to learn. You know, you're young, you think you know everything, and then you realize you don't.
He's not that young. Dude, yeah. DK is like 26 at this point. He's somewhere in the 25 to 27 range.
I can see him taking a shot at Shannon Sharpe not knowing his resume. Like, that makes sense to me. I was not shocked.
Oh, man. Who doesn't know Shannon Sharpe? Pay homage.
I mean, he might know Shannon Sharpe, but that doesn't mean he knows his resume.
Man. I mean, you got what's it? Was like, yeah, you're taking up for this guy. Like, what? Shannon went to the Hall of Fame, what, 2 years ago?
Probably.
Like, he went to the Hall since DK's been in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. this is nothing new. This is not news.
Mm-mm.
I mean, if you want to go at Sterling Sharp, then be my guest, but mm-hmm. you don't go at Shannon. No. Not Uncle Shay Shay.
You shouldn't do that.
But to back to the point, back to us. Right. Yeah.
Back to me.
You got it. Heady football plays. You have to be aware.
Yeah.
Football is mental. You have to be aware of what's going on at all times. Point blank period. No yeah. excuse.
Football, it's mental in a lot of ways. And I think the biggest thing probably is the mentality of feel good. And to feel good, you got to look good when you're on the field, JB. And our friends over at Sleeps can do that for you. Whatever level of football you're playing, they have everything squared away for you. If you're an active person and you need some good workout gear, which I know JB does as he climbs Stone Mountain once a week. If you need active gear workout, we got shorts, we got headbands, we got sleeves, we got long sleeve shirts, we got three-quarter workout tights, we got full-length workout tights, men's, women's, kids. We have it all over at Sleeps. It's affordable and it's incredible material and fabric, and the stuff that they do is awesome. I've been wearing Sleeps quite literally for years. I was actually went out and found Sleeps for us here at Shooting the Sports Ish because I love them so much. I buy their products all the time. I sincerely have been buying Sleeps products for years now, and I really do like them. I think they're awesome.
And you have worn them on the show before.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love Sleeps stuff. 100%. Head on over to sleeps.com, find what you like. It's super affordable. It really, truly is. They have things that you could need if you live an active lifestyle, for kids, for women, for men, all age groups, whatever it is. Sleeps.com, get your gear, get what you need. And then at checkout, type in STSI25 and you can get 25% off your entire purchase at checkout. So head over there, sleeps, sleefs.com. Check out at checkout promo code STSI25 for 25% off your purchase. I feel like that's why it's the most mental part of it.
There you go.
But that's just me. JB, we're going to look into this week's games. Kind of a little bit left to be desired as far as the top 25 matchups go, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But there are some interesting ones. I think two might show up in the next segment. I'm not really sure. JB, Oklahoma State is the number 8 ranked team in the country, and they are a touchdown and an extra point underdog this weekend on the road mm-hmm. at Iowa State.
What do these boys – I'm sorry. You go ahead.
I was going to say I don't understand it. And it scares me because it makes me think that Vegas knows something that I probably should know, but don't. And I'm dumb enough to lay a lot of money on Oklahoma State this weekend to win.
Weren't they underdogs last week against Texas?
Yeah.
It's like, from what I've noticed, I don't quote me on this, but Oklahoma State has been underdogs in most of their games this year. And I don't understand why they're not getting the respect that they deserve. They're not blowing people out like they should be, but they're still winning. That counts for something. Why aren't you giving them their flowers? Acknowledge them.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't understand why they're a 7-point underdog on the road at Iowa State. And that's not taking anything away from Iowa State. I don't get it. Like, I looked at that and I was like, oh yeah, Oklahoma State's going to win. And then I saw the line and the money line is like plus 250. So I was like, well, I'm all over that. So that's going to be money that I bet on Saturday.
See, and See, and I guess I hold it a little bit different because, like, I will take something from Iowa State as they compare it to Oklahoma State. It's like, no, this shouldn't be this way. Like, Oklahoma State should just, like, beat the tar out of them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like I just said, they're not blowing people out, but they should blow them out.
I feel like they should definitely win. I don't understand that. Oregon is a 1-point underdog at home to UCLA this weekend. That makes a little bit more sense. I think UCLA has been playing pretty well, and I think Oregon has been lackluster at times. That really doesn't bother me, that line. And it's at UCLA too, so 1 point is like, I'm fine with that. That doesn't bother me as much.
You're right. That definitely makes more sense, especially considering that Oregon has been – they haven't had the offense that we're accustomed to seeing. They're not lighting up scoreboards. Mm-hmm. They're barely averaging 24 points a game. It's just not the same anymore. And you can blame it on QB play. You can say that C.J. Verdell's absence is a factor, but it's really just a combination of all things. Something is missing. Something hasn't quite clicked yet. And really, they're just any given week away. I feel for them what I've said in weeks past, I felt about Oklahoma, which I'm totally taking back now, by the way. but sure. Yeah, this Oregon team can fall at any given week now. They're not that good.
Yeah. Super interesting where that's going to go. The last game that I have as far as lines go that makes it real funny to me is Clemson is a 3.5-point underdog to Pittsburgh.
And I
don't think that's wrong, but it's just a weird time in life right now.
Man. Yeah, and that makes total sense too, because Clemson, not the same this year.
No.
At the beginning of the year, we were talking about Georgia Clemson. This is a heavyweight fight, and we'll see this again. And no. No. They're struggling right now, and it's the offense is bad, but it's also all phases.
Well, the crazy thing is like, one, there's one ranked team in this game, and it's not Clemson, so that's right. Weird. Right. Tennessee's loss to Pittsburgh looks a little bit better now at the beginning of the year than it did. Clemson's defense is the second best defense in the country. Yes. Across multiple categories. Like, and that defense is awesome.
And then you factor in the fact that that defense is on the field a lot.
So
to be right like that.
Yeah.
But they're still giving up points, though. It's just that their offense can't help them.
I mean,
the offense is struggling.
If you have a defense that's giving up 13 points a game, you should win a lot of games. And the fact that they're not means that their offense is playing so bad that you can't manage a way to score 14 points a game to make sure you've stayed undefeated to this point. Like, I could not imagine the frustration if this was Georgia doing this podcast with you every week. You know what I mean? Well, like, you have a generationally good defense, and your offense sucks so bad that you're 4-2.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I mean, it's a shame that we're talking about 4-2 and bad, but yeah, that's pretty much
it. I mean, for Clemson, though, it is.
Yeah, it absolutely
is.
The
way their offense is playing, it's terrible.
Yeah, and it really comes down to what I said earlier about why Georgia is so successful.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line of Clemson is not bailing DJ out. They're not helping him. And, of course, he's not helping his own case. But you got those two things working against you. It doesn't matter who's in the backfield. It doesn't matter who's running routes.
Yeah.
You're going to lose. You're going to struggle. And they are struggling.
Yes, they are. It's so wild. It's so wild to me watching, just seeing that, like, Because I saw that and I was like, oh my God, Clemson's an underdog. Like, yeah, I'll immediately take that. And then I had to think, oh, they're not that good offensively. Yeah. I don't know if I can trust them to put up enough points offensively to win that game, which is even a more absurd question to come out of my mouth for a Clemson team.
Yeah. I mean, we're just so accustomed, like, and it's not even Trevor Lawrence. It's Deshaun. It's hell. You can even go back to Todd Boyd. Like, yes. This Clemson has been reliable for at least moving the football for the better part of the last like decade and a half now.
Yeah. Go back to DJ's three games that he started last year.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he had almost 500 yards in Notre Dame. Notre Dame had to beat that Clemson team in overtime.
Yeah, he put up almost 1,000 yards in just two starts.
Something like that. Yeah, it was nuts. It was crazy.
Yeah, like 2.5 games, you had almost 1,000 yards passing. That's ridiculous.
Yes.
And here we are.
A sophomore slump?
Man, something – I think it might be a confidence issue with him.
Mm.
Whether he doesn't trust the offensive line, he might not trust himself. Maybe the lights are too big, but it's not a talent issue with that kid at all. He's got every tool. He's got everything needed to be what he wants to be, but something's just not coming together.
Man, tough. We'll see if they can get it to turn around. That's going to take us into our last segment though. JB, our season record game, you are 27-11, and I am 31-8. So we go back and forth though, like every week. This is gonna be a really fun race to the finish.
Two of my teams are out this week.
Particularly when you factor in the playoffs and the possibilities of that. So, I just only assume that you're gonna beat me by one game at the end of the season, and then I'm going to have to throw a chair through a window because I'm going to be so angry. But record game, really close. We're within three of each other. Best bets were 9-6-1. We went 1-1 last week. For individual purposes, my bet hit. I had UCLA +1 over Washington. UCLA covered easily. JB went back to the well with Oregon. Oregon was -13.5 over California. Oregon only won by 7. Did not cover, but we are 9-6-1. So if for some reason you're taking betting advice from us, which is a terrible decision, and JB and I have said that on multiple accounts, it's really bad if you decide to take all of your betting advice from us. But on the off chance you want to, you've made money.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I mean, it's not a best decision. It's not the best decision, but it's not a terrible one.
No, we haven't cost you any money.
No, not at all. I mean, you're not rolling in the dough, but you know,
no,
get you a nice meal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe pay a bill or two.
Yeah, depending on your units, whatever one unit is in your betting measurements.
Yeah, you know, like phone bill, maybe, or you know,
or like a supersized McDonald's meal. You know what I mean? Get those extra fries the next time you go out there on us.
Yeah, you know what? And if you're feeling fancy, you can go to Five Guys.
Yeah, I mean, these are. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can get like you know, get some bread there, and maybe not a patty because you know. It charges forever. It charges so high. And not endless fries, but you know, you can probably like get some salt from fries.
Yeah.
Eh?
Eat some peanuts while you're there.
Yeah. Get you a fountain drink.
Fountain drink. I mean, these are our hot and ready best bets, so they can always go to our favorite pizza joint, Little Caesars.
Yes. You are so good for these segues. You're on it this week.
Thank you so much. Grab you up some Little Caesars pizza, which is the best pizza.
Acknowledge us, Little Caesars.
Yeah.
Sponsor us. Love us. No.
Do it. We're JB. What are some games you like? What are you ultimately going with? What is your hot and ready best bet week 8 of the college football series? We're already at week 8 of the college football season.
That's crazy how fast time is moving with this. Really, but I am going Ole Miss over LSU.
Okay.
I'm taking the win, but I'm also taking the money line there as well because I'm feeling dangerous.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. So Ole Miss is the favorite, right? So this is, for those of you that are just listening and you don't know this segment, totally fine. We'll explain it. We like to give one bet per week that we think is going to hit. It is always to do with the line itself. However, if you're taking the favorite, if you're taking the underdog. If you're taking the underdog, we always tell you to bet the money line as well, just in case. But for this one, Ole Miss is the favorite. JB on the points and on the money line for Ole Miss to make sure that they cover that. Ole Miss does get LSU this weekend in Ole Miss.
So I think that's a pretty safe one, all things considered. So rolling with it.
I think so too. You really, what I respect the most about you, JB, is if there's a line that's like 5 or lower, you just don't give a crap.
No, like,
the line is only worthy of your acknowledgement if it's at least 8.
I think I've done like less than 5 maybe once this season.
I can tell you without question that you've done a minus single digit one time this year.
That was Oregon a couple weeks ago.
No, it was Cincinnati over Notre Dame.
Cincinnati, that's it. That was the one. Yes, that was the one.
But you've only done that once. Every other favorite that you've taken has been a double-digit favorite. So, like, you just don't give a crap about small lines when you're taking the favorite.
Listen, anybody watching this, I have no frame of reference for this prior to this season.
Zero.
I have zero experience.
None.
I just know football. Those look right to me.
No idea what he's doing, and we love him for it. So JB's got Ole Miss minus 9 over LSU. I love that one. I was going back and forth between two. I'm going to end up going back to Oklahoma State. I like Oklahoma State plus 7 at Iowa State. I'm also on the money line for Oklahoma State because I think they're going to win straight up as well.
Absolutely. That's a good one. That's solid.
The only other one I would have given was Clemson in the points. I think it's going to be close. I think Pittsburgh might win, but I would not be shocked if it was like a 1 or 2 point game. But that's not the one I'm going with. That I have on record. The one on record I'm going with is Oklahoma State plus 7 at Iowa State.
I'm with you.
It was a good one, man. I think we both had two really good picks. I just love that you just don't care about normal odds. You're just like, that's stupid.
I'm going basically with
this number. And that is what I appreciate about you. JB, that's it for us, man. We're done. I don't know if you know that, but this is it.
Oh, man. I got an exam in the morning, so got to get to hit the hay.
Yeah, we got to get to sleep. I'm going to try and get up early and get over to catch breakfast at the whatever the name of the – I don't know. We need to come up with a name. We need to, we need to create a campus, I think. We need to, like
– Absolutely.
We need to have building names. We need to have a frame of reference for our campus lifestyle.
I vote there's a Rick building.
A Ricked? There'll be a Ricked building. I'm not mad at that.
Absolutely. Mark Rick, former UGA coach.
I feel like there needs to be a Summit building.
Absolutely, without question.
But we need
Or a Belair statue somewhere.
Yeah, listen, there's going to be some stuff. I'm going to make a little map. I'm going to make a mini campus.
I feel like we need to work on that together.
Yeah, walk-ons university, and we'll just yell woo a lot, because I feel like W-O-U would make a woo sound.
Yeah.
Or like, wow? I don't know.
And the worst kept building has to be the Spurrier building.
No, there's nothing. There's no building on our campus.
Oh, thank God.
None. Zero.
Because I was going to roll with it if you let me, but I was going to side-eye you if you did.
No. That's
okay.
That's not happening on my campus, JB.
No Spurrier anything.
No, absolutely not. So that's what I'm doing next week, is I'm going to create a campus for us, because that's what we do now. JB, I appreciate you, man. If you're not following him already, JBV the World on Twitter, JB versus the World on YouTube. He's got his own YouTube channel. Go check him out. He's awesome. The best pod partner in the business.
I thought that was you.
No, that's you, man. You edged me out. You edged me out. It was real close. I finished second.
Man, I think you got me by a hair, like a whisker's hair. Literally, because you're...
Is it chin hair or like hair hair? Because if it's hair hair, I think I got you by more than a whisker.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe. No, man, you're the best. I appreciate you. Go check out, it's JB versus the World on YouTube. It's JBV the World on Twitter. I'm at CM Says Stuff on Twitter. I don't have a YouTube channel yet. Could be coming.
Yes.
Who knows?
Maybe.
Maybe. Stroke the chin here. Maybe. Maybe. But we appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Please find us on Twitter. Come hang out with us on Saturdays. We're going to be in front of the TV mostly all day. We're going to be talking all things college football. Come hang out with us. As always, we love you guys. JB, hit him with the sign out.
Take care of yourselves and each other.
There it is.